this son of yours, the prodigal son, returns to the house, and the father is just overwhelmed with joy because the son of man is the son who was dead has come back to life, was lost, and now he is found. There's a story about Mark Twain. It tells when he was a young man, 15 years old. Like a lot of people at 15 years old, he thought he knew everything, right? And he thought his father was the dumbest man in the world, he says. And 10 years later, when he was 25, he was just amazed, astonished at how much his father had learned in those 10 years. Amazing, no? How much we can learn in 10 years. Story of the prodigal son. I guess it can be like many rebellious, right, people. Overconfident, arrogant, think we know more than our parents. Think we know more than many people in authority. And we want to be free. People want to be free. The son wanted to be free, right, of the drudgery of home life. Free of tradition, especially the tradition of religion, which confined him. And so what does he do? He asks the father that he gives him his share of the inheritance. His father may have done that, right? We don't know how old he was. It doesn't say that in the gospel, right? He could have been 40 years old. The father may have been happy he's leaving, finally. But he leaves. And what does he do? He begins to just waste his money and live, what, a life of debauchery. Dissipation. And he thinks he finds his freedom, his liberty, where in chaos. And just doing what he wants to do, just living what his baser instincts or whatever they lead him into. But then, after the money runs out and hard times hit the country where he was in, it comes a famine. Perhaps that famine can be also interpreted as something interiorly, an interior famine. That he was just empty, dark inside. Perhaps without hope. But then he went to feed the swine. And that's something that a Jew would not do, right? Because swine was just something that were an unclean animal. And he had now, as a Jew, he had to go feed, tend to the swine. And he was so hungry at times that he just wanted to do what? To eat what the swine were, the paws that the swine fed on. But nobody gave him anything. Then finally, what happened? He comes to his senses. Isn't that amazing? I love that. Then he comes to his senses. Huh? Something God must have spoke to him in his conscience, which is a great sign that his conscience was not dead. It was still perhaps in his deep slumber, but it was not dead. God spoke to him, and he came to his senses. What did he think? He had a deep shame, perhaps, huh? A deep shame and guilt for how he had lived his life. How he had disobeyed his father, how he disobeyed God. And he had remorse. Remorse is what? Remorse is certainly a keen awareness, a keen sorrow for what we've done wrong. And he sought forgiveness. And what does he do? He returns to the father's house, he said. And he begins his journey home. My brothers and sisters, we know that with the story of the prodigal son, right, it represents all of us, no? No? Sometime in our life, perhaps we've drifted away from the tradition of our family, of our ethnicity. And much of the ethnicity, certainly, that we have, certainly growing up in this area, has been Christianity, has been Catholicism. And many of us, we've drifted away from that. And hopefully, you know, we come to our senses at one time or another, and we return. And we're here. You're here this morning, the beauty of that. But Lent is a time. Lent is a time, right, that we have a deep reflection, an interior reflection on how we're living our life in relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ. Am I living out my Catholic faith the best that I can? Can I do better? And it's a time not that I focus on others' sins, on the other prodigal sons and daughters out there. I know exactly where they're going wrong and how they need to return, where they need to return. But I have to focus on myself. And where are the things, perhaps, that I've rejected, that the Church teaches? Anything? Over the last number of years, just focus on two commandments. Say the third commandment, keep holy the Lord's Day. How many people truly do that? How many Christians, Catholics, truly keep holy the Lord's Day? Mass and the holy days of obligation. Again, the Eucharist, Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, is the source of some of the Christian worship. We have to keep that at the center of our lives. And also, another commandment, perhaps, many of us perhaps have strayed away from, rejected, because we know better than the Church. The sixth commandment. What is the sixth commandment, Captain? Sixth commandment, right? Sixth commandment, huh? Not to commit adultery. No fornication. No self-abuse, or can I use the word masturbation? Adultery, I said. Any sins against sexuality. The Church has always taught and continues to teach. You don't hear it so much anymore. But sexuality, our powers, these sacred powers of sexuality that we have, they're only meant for the sacrament of marriage. And to use them outside of marriage, but it becomes devastating. It destroys ourselves, it can destroy society. And we see that in our world today. But are we like perhaps the prodigal son who know better than 2,000 years of Church teaching? Perhaps some people are. Some people, we know that, do. But we pray that God's love and His love and mercy, right? He touches us and He wakes our conscience back up. We come back to our senses. We come to our senses and we return to Him. We see our world today as in a lot of chaos. Great division, just like our country. There's some real divisions in our country, right? Because many people have turned away from God, from religion. We have to come back. We have to come back. And we look at the Church today. Clergy, bishops, cardinals, priests, laity. Where are we at? Are we divided to? So we pray, as we, this Lent, that we pray, we reflect on our lives, how we have to return to God. Some, perhaps, we don't have to go too far, right? But we all have to journey back home. And the beauty of this, when we recognize in our lives the things that we have to do to ask God forgiveness of, please think about returning to the sacrament of confession. That's one thing that seems to be kind of drifted out, of people's consciences at times. Yes, we know that we sin, but do we go to the sacrament of confession and ask God for His mercy? And this is the beauty of the gospel today, because the Father sees the Son from a ways off, no? And His heart is filled with compassion. Huh? And what happens? The Father, He runs to meet His Son, to greet Him. And spiritual writers, they tell us, no respectable Jew would do that. Adult Jew would do that. Run? But this is the Father's joy. His Son, who is dead, is returning home, back home. The Son who was lost is now found. And we have to do that. And when we go to the sacrament of confession, the saints tell us, that God leaps for joy. He's wild with joy when we return to the sacrament of confession. Why? Because we're returning home, returning to Him. Let's do that. Let's feel that peace. Let's feel that peace. Accept that peace, that joy that God wants to give us, that forgiveness. Let's feel His all-loving embrace that liberates us. We can do that, no?
I guess. I don't know.
Mark Twain.
That's pretty good.
It's a young man. He thought he knew everything. He thought his father was the dumbest man in the world. And 10 years later, amazed how much his father knew or learned. Do we not see that about the church? The church, is our Lord speaking to us, church teaching. He's speaking to us. So let's, my brothers and sisters, as we continue this Mass as our Lenten journey, let's continue to pray. We pray that we embrace what our Lord Jesus teaches us as He speaks to us clearly and emphatically to the church. Let us not be afraid in the sense, let us not hesitate to study the catechism of the Catholic Church. So important. Peace.